You just kind of have to decipher, like when it says the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, it's almost always speaking of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So kind of like the same question last week, when can you tell when you're embodied by the Holy Spirit versus you're just acting on emotion? Historically speaking, I can tell you that that's hard to decipher, because one of the faults in the church has always been that people we know acting out of emotion thought they have been led by the Spirit at some point, right? So that's a hard one sometimes to discern. I would fall back to the whole idea that the purpose of being embodied is always, always to point people to the presence of God and to participate in His purpose. And if you're acting in the Spirit does not accomplish one of those two things, then that is more emotion than the Spirit. Okay, prime example, in the movement that I grew up in, there were a lot of well-meaning people. Please understand this. They were all well-meaning, well-intentioned people. But sometimes their participation in being empowered by the Holy Spirit did not point people to God, and it was not participating in the purpose of God. They were well-meaning, well-intentioned, but that was more tied to emotion than actual spirit. But that's hard to discern. And I think that's why it's important. It becomes easier to discern when we do it in community versus when we do it as individuals. The community helps us discern if it really is the movement of the Spirit, because the Spirit is undivided. And so if there's unity in the community that's been praying and that's aligned with the character of God, then that tells us it's the Spirit. If there's division in the community, that's a key indicator that that's not the Spirit. That's a good question. And that helps us expand on the question from last week. Right? But the you have to remember that these communities, so like Hannah's Creek is a community. It has to be a community of people that are praying, praying, praying. That's what we find in Acts. What these people were doing is they were praying while they were waiting. And through that prayer and through their alignment of the character of God, they were able to sense where the Spirit was leading. This is hard for us in America because we live in such an individualized culture. And in the New Testament, it was not individualistic at all. It was communal. The story of God is the story of a community of people from beginning to end. I mean, God Himself exists in community, three in one. Good question. Any others? Oh, yep. Good. That's a great question. So how do we sort out what's maybe truth and not, right? So the primary way that God speaks through His Spirit today would be the Bible. And you hit the nail on the head when you talked about interpreting. One person can interpret it this way, and one person can interpret it that way. So this is not what I found in this part of the country. This is kind of a challenging thing, right? One of the worst things we can do when we study the Bible is sit around in a circle, so in community, but if we sit around in a circle and say, well, what does that mean to you? That's a form of interpretation, right? Say, well, this is what it means to me. And the next person down the line say, well, this is what it means to me. One of the things we have to understand about Scripture is that there is one intended meaning. It's not supposed to mean something to me and something different to Seth and something different to Bonnie. That's not the intent. That's not the purpose. So the very first thing we do when we start to study Scripture is ask, what is the author trying to tell me? Not what do I need to learn or what does this mean to me? What is the author saying? What is the intended purpose? And that's a completely different way of studying the Scriptures than we've had in the church in America for a long time. Because predominantly in small Bible studies, it's always been, well, what does that mean to you? The first question should always be, what did the author want us to know? And ultimately, the author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit. And so if we begin with the wrong question, well, what's this supposed to mean to me? Then we'll arrive at the wrong answer. That's a very deep, deep question, though, and we could go on and on and on. But I think the primary thing to take away is we have to approach Scripture as the living, breathing Word of God, authored by the Spirit, right? Supervised by the Spirit, these authors wrote. What did the Spirit want these men to say? Not what does it mean to me, what were they saying? And what you'll find when you take that approach, it always comes back to, God's presence among humanity and His purpose for all of creation. Even in Acts, we just read it. This is why you're going to get this, so you can be my witnesses. And we make it hard sometimes, but it's really just God is present and God has a purpose for humanity. He is leading it somewhere. Good question. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah.
Not so much a question, I guess it's a talking point, but many years ago, you weren't baptized and speaking in tongues, well, then you didn't do it right. You didn't have the Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say I believe that.
Yeah, I touched on that just a little bit last week in our interview, but that would be the... I can't speak for all Pentecostal churches, but I know that some Pentecostal churches, the theology says that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And so the logic is, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you haven't received the Spirit. We will talk about this next week, actually, in a lot of detail when we talk about when does a person receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right. And so what I think we'll find as we unpack that together is that it's not correlated to tongues. At the point at which a person receives that gift is not correlated to tongues at all. It's a good observation.
Can I ask a follow-up?
No, you only get one question.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding.
Follow-up to what the previous question. So, I was always taught that when you're going through something and you just have questions and you're struggling, turn to the Bible and maybe you'll find either comfort or hope or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I just think I heard you say was that if in my struggle I interpret something some way that gives me hope or whatever, but that's not really what the author meant, then I'm reading it from him.
Yes and no. So the Word of God has an incredible ability, I feel like, to bring comfort, but also challenge. Comfort and confrontation, that's what I call it. So one of the ways the Spirit uses the Bible is to bring us comfort when we need comfort, right? Because Paul tells us that God is the God of all comfort. But the Holy Spirit also confronts us, like, hey, you're not aligning with the character of God. You're not aligning with the image of Christ. But again, we have to be careful and understand some of these texts that we pull out for specific purposes, we pull them out of context and we apply them to our lives as if they're promises for us. And some of you are going to look at me cross when I tell you this, but I cringe when I hear it. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody uses that verse out of context. Everybody. I mean, you high schoolers that just graduated, I guarantee you got a card that said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope and not to harm you." And we latch onto that like, oh, God's promised me this. He's not going to harm me. I'm not going to have a bad future. That was not a promise for all humanity. That was a promise for Israel in that specific context. Now, does God want to harm us? Absolutely not. But also, we have to understand, like, his future and hope in that specific context was pointing to Jesus. And so that's been fulfilled. So when we cherry pick these things, they may bring comfort, but honestly, sometimes we cherry pick them out of context and we make them more authoritative for our specific situation in life than they were meant to be. And that's just one example, like Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody cherry picks that and thinks that it applies to their life specifically. And that's not why that was written. It was written for Israel, for a specific period of time. And I know it's like, oh, are you serious? Yeah, I'm sorry. Good question. So yes and no. God wants to comfort us through his word. So it's not wrong to go to scripture when you need comforting. What's wrong is trying to find comfort in places that you're not supposed to find comfort in scripture. And I think we understand that better when we study it together. When we study it together, we have a better idea of what's this really saying, right?
And I get that because what you said made me think. So when I was in high school, my mother was dying of cancer, and I went to the Bible and I went to Psalm 6. And it was one of those things, I just flipped it open. You know, one of those, you know, okay, God, do a magic trick for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flipped to Psalm 6, and it talks about, you know, essentially, you know, how can I do you any good if I'm in the grave? And I took that to mean it's going to be okay in my way, which was she was still with us.
Right.
But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I probably, I know, I shook my fist at God a little bit, walked away for a while, you know, and so I could see where it could be just as dangerous as it is.
Yeah. Good observation. Well, I've got time for one, maybe two more, depending on how difficult. Yeah.
As I'm reading scripture and it reveals something to me, and then I go back and read it again, maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year later, and the same words are revealing something new. Is that the Spirit speaking to me?
You needed to be more specific and define something new. Is it a new application, a deeper understanding? Yeah, I get that. But a completely new understanding, I would say no, not possible. I mean, how can the Spirit give you one understanding and then 3 weeks later give you a different understanding when it's the same Spirit? Now, a new application, a deeper application, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. But I think when we read one thing and then like a year later we read it and we're like, oh, that's completely different than what I thought before, like 180, one of those times we were off. And that's normal. Right? I've been there. Like, I would tell you, I figured it up. I can't remember, like 15 years in pastorate now, 13 to 15 years in the pastorate. And 13 years ago, I look back at some of the things that the way I interpreted, I was like, wow, boy, did I have that wrong. But I didn't say, oh, I got a new meaning now. It's like, okay, I was wrong. But it's a process, right? We are not perfect. And so we're going to mess it up, and that's okay. It's okay to mess it up. We will mess it up.
So it's more of a shallow reading the first time and then a deeper reading?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's a shallow reading. Sometimes it's a deep reading the first time, and I just completely mess it up. Because maybe I don't listen to the Spirit enough, or maybe I listen to other people who maybe aren't being led by the Spirit. I think one of the hardest things about really following Jesus is when we sit down and try to interpret this, we have so many biases that we carry with us that sometimes we mess it up. But God in His grace and mercy allows us to get it wrong and doesn't wipe us off the face of the earth. But as time goes on, He reveals it to us much better than we got it the first time. And that's just the graciousness of God. Yeah.
So can I connect them to your Jeremiah 29:11? Because I do think that can be interpreted that way. I think when you look at it deeper, His intention all along for you was Jesus, right? So that is the plan He had for you, not your personal plan.
Exactly. That's. I think in our context for Jeremiah 29:11, a lot of people interpret that as a personal plan.
Yeah.
God has a plan for me.
Yeah.
But it's the plan for me is still Jesus. It's not that I have these aspirations to go on and become a New York Times best-selling author. He has a plan for me, and He's going to make sure that happens. Nah, that's not the way it works, right? I mean, His plan for me is to recognize His presence through the person of Jesus Christ, now the Holy Spirit, and participate in His purpose. Yeah. I did get a text. Oh. Not a question, just an observation. This is good. But I cannot tell where they're at in Scripture. But this is the observation. The empowerment of God's Spirit does not equal the endorsement of human choices. That's huge, yes. That is exactly the point. The empowerment of God's Spirit does not equal the endorsement of human choices. So thanks for that observation. Unless there's like one more like burning desire, that's probably good enough for today. I know my mind's about ready to pop, so I'm sure other people's are as well. Not just one more? All right, gavel's dropped. So here's how we're going to end today. Actually, one more thing. I mentioned some resources last week. One of those was a book by Francis Chan. So if you want to jot these down, these are some things that I use. A book written by Francis Chan called Forgotten God. It was published by David C. Cook around 2009. It's an easy read, really small book. If you want something a little bit bigger, there's a book written by Jack Cottrell called The Faith Once for All, Bible Doctrine for Today. I would recommend that. It's seminary level reading, so it's thick. There's a section on the person of the Holy Spirit, pretty good in there, but if you're like me, you'll have to read it several times to digest everything that's going on. And I always, always, always will tell you the Bible Project. The Bible Project does a fantastic job of taking these very complex ideas and making them simple to understand. And there's a video that really breaks down that Trinity, Don, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That breaks that down, and one of the best jobs I've ever seen. So the Bible Project, you can just Google it. It'll take you there, and there's all kinds of things you can search through. You can listen to podcasts, read articles, watch videos about any topic you'd probably want to do. So those are three resources. Let's end with the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Did you get that on there? So I told you I'd have it on the slides last week. It is also in your bulletin. And some of you know this, so you don't have to read it, but let's pray this together. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen.